super excited to be a guest.
Hello, everyone. This is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Yahavi St. Clair, and he is a self-published author, speaker, podcast host, podcast publicist, a real estate investor, marketing consultant, music artist, personal trainer, actor, and comedian. So he wears a lot of hats, and he helps professionals and business share their business story through podcast content marketing. And he hosts a fantastic podcast called St. Clair Speaks, which focuses on entrepreneurialism and self-improvement. He displays a lot of energy on that show, and I can't recommend that show highly enough. Everyone should take a look at that wonderful podcast he has. And he interviews successful guests and centers of influence like entrepreneurs, real estate investors, and nonprofit founders, and more. He could definitely teach me a thing or two about podcasting. And he's also the founder of St. Clair Sales, where he helps entrepreneurs communicate better about their brand and story and helps them to increase their revenue as a business. So that's amazing. And so we are very honored to have him here on the show. He's a very busy man, so he's able to carve out some time in his packed schedule and to sit down and have a chat with us. So we are very blessed and fortunate. I guess to start off, can you talk to us about your background and how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today?
Oh, wow. Luke, I want to say thank you for having me on the show. I can't stop smiling. I am so happy to be here. And just tell you guys a little bit more about me. My name is Yahavi St. Clair, and I got started on this path, by accident. I'll be honest with you. Failure actually led me in this direction to success. And we all believe that, you're one idea away, from changing your life. And the ideas that have come to me have all failed. Honestly, like a lot of the ideas that I've had failed. And there are some things that really worked out. So to get on this path, honestly, I would say it was by accident, but there's no accident when you're living in your life's purpose, right? So for me, I have a huge background in fitness. So I was a personal trainer for about 8 years certified, but prior to that, I got the gift for gab ability from selling tickets in Times Square in New York City for 7 years. Now, that started with me, selling tickets in the heart of Times Square in 5 to 10 degree weather, like literally on a corner. So that's where my gift for gab ability was created, but fitness was what got me off of the streets. So I transitioned into a role as a personal trainer, ISSA, TRX certified. And that's where it kind of like started for me. And that's what kind of like got me off the corner. Then fitness, of course, that chapter closed, I would say. And I kind of like transitioned into this role of pursuit of speaking, podcasting, being an author. And I'll be quite honest with you. It was the best thing that happened, but also the best thing that never happened. So the way things aligned and to be on this podcast today, like I'm super stoked about it, one, but to talk about it and look at my experiences, I'm like, wow, like, that's pretty much what happened.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's interesting. And thank you again for sharing your story. I'm very stoked to have you on as a guest. And I think your story is amazing. And so you talked about how your life took kind of different turns here or there, and you kind of ended up doing something you may not have thought you'd do in the beginning, but you had some, attempts that you made here or there. They didn't work out, but that's fairly typical. We actually have a common guest, I think quite a few. There was one guest named Kuda Biza. I think you remember him. He was from Zimbabwe. He was like a serial entrepreneur. He said that when it comes to failure, there's no such thing as failure. There's only learning experiences. So in many ways, you didn't really fail. You just kind of, learned more about yourself and learned, how to, better succeed at the next time you tried something. And so I think this is actually a fairly typical journey for an entrepreneur. So they're not unusual, actually. So it's interesting. When you said that about yourself, that you had failures here or there, you kind of reminded me of him and others. So, and you said that you had the gift of gab. Well, that's a great gift to have when you are a podcaster, of course. It's selling tickets on Times Square. I can only imagine how tough that is.
It was, you know, Luke, it was quite the experience. I'll be honest with you. You know, I met my significant other, and now we share a two-year-old daughter, and we met in the heart of Times Square. So what are the odds of you literally meeting the love of your life out of millions of people, thousands of people, you would say, walking around Times Square in New York City? Like, what are the odds of that? And here we are going into 8 years together. Like, that is... Like, that is, for me, I know the universe has my back, so I don't believe in coincidences too much. But I, like, once, you know, the stars started to align and I started to look at the bigger picture, I'm like, oh, wow, like, this is, yeah, like, this was in my cards. But to give a little bit more backstory prior to me selling tickets, in fact, when I was 14, Luke, I got a box of candy from BJ's for 15 bucks, right? And that's where my hustle initially, quote unquote, started back in high school when I was a freshman. So I got a box of candy from BJ's, 15 bucks. There were 30 pieces of candy in there. I sold each piece of candy for $2 a pop. That gave me my return at 60 bucks, right? Wow. And then from there, I would just re-up on my candy. But at that moment, I knew I had the ability to not only just, you know, conduct business, be an entrepreneur, but I had these skills to talk to people. And I was also a class clown. So I was playing off of my ability to, you know, make people laugh, be comedic, and just showcase that personality. And through the journey of doing that, you know, looking back at it now, I'm like, wow, like that was incredible. But I did not know what I was instilling within myself only at the age of 14. I literally turned 30 in like a month and a half. So it's been half of my life. I've had these abilities, and what you have to look at what life gifted you with. You know, we have a lot once we really look within ourselves. And for me, I'm just so thankful that all of the, you know, just the hustle, the grind, the work did not go in vain. There was something that was planted, and I planted these things in me. So it all kind of like aligned and connected in a way for me.
Wow. That's amazing. And it all started with that box of candy. And it's interesting when you're in high school. And so that's incredible. And you know, Mark Twain once said that everyone has two birthdays in their life, the day they were born and the day they figure out why. And clearly, you know, both your birthdays. You know what your life purpose is. And it's interesting. You also mentioned you were a personal trainer. I actually was a personal trainer for a brief while at Equinox. There was an Equinox in Upper West Side of Manhattan. And one of the things the manager told me, my supervisor, he said, being a personal trainer is first and foremost a sales job. And I don't think you would disagree, right? You could know about fitness, but you have to sell yourself to a client so they would pay you to train them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yo, you are spot on with that. Spot on with that.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And so, you know, so obviously the turnover is high with personal training, with all sales jobs. And, you know, I love it when people make it in sales because I know how tough it is. And so I'm always fascinated by salespeople, you know, people who make their money through 100% commission or mostly commission. You know, it's not, you know, most people wouldn't even sign up for that. And people who do, apparently a high amount of them fail at it. So I'm always fascinated by people like yourself who can sell and who sell effectively, consistently. And so I just find that just amazing and whatnot. And you guys deserve to be well compensated for that ability that's not very common to sell, you know, at a high rate for, you know, consistently a long period of time. So, you know, you've been doing this for years, working in sales, and I think that's incredible and whatnot. And I'm curious, now, obviously, you know, you've been chugging along, doing your thing and whatnot, and having success. But then what happened was we all got hit with that sucker punch, you know, the pandemic. I'm curious, how would you describe the current state of affairs with business and entrepreneurialism, and what challenges, if any, has the pandemic posed?
Oh, you know what? I'm glad that you mentioned that. And this is such a great question because honestly, you know, this pandemic was the best thing that happened to me. And here's why. The reason why I'm saying that is because prior to this, I was on a corner selling tickets, right? And I was doing that just to get by at the time because I was working a full-time job as a personal trainer at Lifetime Athletic in Westchester, New York. And my manager at the time, as I expressed to him prior to my daughter being born, "Hey, you know, we're having a child. I have to go down to part-time." They told me in response, "We hired you as full-time, not part-time." So I had no choice but to quit, go back to the block, and pretty much get her up the corner. So when I was in Times Square while COVID came, I'm literally watching everything shut down. So just imagine you seeing like big corporations like the McDonald's in Times Square closed. I mean, Toys R Us prior was closed prior to the pandemic, but McDonald's, for example, the newsstands, there was so much different businesses in the heart of Times Square that I literally watched with my own eyes close down. So for me, I felt this shift, and I'm like, okay, this is something that is literally out of a movie. And I kid you not, I went from being in a crowded Times Square to a deserted Times Square really fast because of this pandemic. So I had to learn how to adjust, right? I had to learn how to adjust. I had to learn how to, you know, wing things on the fly and learn and develop these new skills because those who fail to adapt are going
Right. I see what you mean. Right.
putting myself out there. I went to a networking event, you know, I would say maybe a couple months prior to COVID, and that is what changed my life and what made me get into marketing overall. And you know, that was the best thing that happened because this pandemic showed me that number one, I have a lot more to offer. Two, there's no guarantees in life. Three, there's no such thing as job security because like that is a complete lie. If you're gonna sit there and say, "Hey, this job is secure," I could arguably say absolutely not because this pandemic has showed us there's no promises in life. The only promises in life are the ones that we try or attempt to keep to ourselves. But in this case, I had to learn how to adapt. I had to learn new skills. I had to put myself out there. And I'll be honest with you, it was hard. It wasn't easy. It was not easy because I have almost 10 years as a personal trainer. Now it's like, okay, I want to do something different. I have no idea about experience. And I am, you know, my younger sister told me this. She said, "Yahavi, you're a good hustler, but you're also a good businessman." And I have seven siblings, Luke. So I hold on to anything that my siblings say because family you're given and your friends you pick, right? So for my little sister to tell me that, I took that to heart. And I'm like, you know what? She's absolutely right. I'm a good hustler, but I need to be a better businessman. So I had to understand business and how business works. I had to understand the level of professionalism that comes along with what I want to achieve, right? I can't say, "Hey, I want to be successful in business and I'm not being professional," right? So say like this podcast interview, say if I'm 40 minutes late, that's unprofessional, right? So there's a certain standard. So it took, I'll be honest, Luke, it was tough because you have to retrain your mind, right? There's a difference between being an entrepreneur and being an employee. Being an employee, I'm waiting to be told what to do. Being an entrepreneur, I have to make sure I'm doing what needs to be done.
Excellent. And I think your sister is spot on. I would call you the king of hustle. And I think that's what I'll name the episode, by
I
the
appreciate that. I appreciate that.
way. Yeah, I mean, to sell tickets on Times Square, to be a personal trainer and whatnot, that title is screaming at me. And it's interesting, you know, you talk about the difference between being an entrepreneur and an employee, and that's so true. And you know, a lot of people don't make it in business because it's hard for them to kind of make that sort of psychological switch. But it's interesting how you had to pivot and adapt. You know, they say life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond, and you're living proof of that. You know, your whole world turned upside down with this pandemic, came out of nowhere and so fast. everything just got turned upside down. And to see Times Square as a ghost town must have been weird to you. It was weird to me. And it was like a movie. It was like that movie with Will Smith, I Am Legend, where
it really was.
Yeah, you know, but in my understanding is that New York City is opening back up. Times Square is maybe not back to normal, but hopefully soon. I think everything's going to open up in July. But yeah, it was a tough couple of months, to say the least. And to see all these corporations shut down, like McDonald's and whatnot, to literally see that is crazy. But you know, you obviously, you know, you didn't panic. You focused, you pivoted and adapted, and so many businesses like restaurants were able to do that. Some restaurants shut down for good, which is unfortunate, but others pivoted. They, you know, they did other stuff like drive-through, takeout, and they adapted. And so it's so important that people understand that mentality if they want to survive, you know, and thrive in life. You know, and I think it's so important, and I think the pandemic proved that. It's interesting how you answered the question by saying that in many ways, the pandemic was like a blessing in disguise, that it helped you tremendously because you were able to fall back in these other skills that you had and whatnot. And I think that's amazing. That's incredible. So I'm curious. Now, obviously, there'll be a world where the pandemic goes away for the most part, hopefully sooner rather than later, particularly with the ramped up distribution of the vaccine and whatnot. I'm curious, where do you see things going in the future, and where do you see yourself in that future?
Well, you know, this is actually what I see. And to tell you about my podcast, the St. Clair Speaks Show, I've launched the St. Clair Speaks Tour, which is literally what I'm doing right now. You know, going on podcast shows like yours, sharing my business story, sharing my personal story, you know, putting myself out there, doing more events. I definitely see myself, you know, stepping more into that leadership role. I've realized this pandemic has shown me I have a lot more to give. I have a lot more to learn. But, I discovered my purpose through the process of just the pursuit of what I'm doing now. So where I see myself, you know, I see myself leading the charge. I see myself impacting the world. I see myself, sharing more of my story. I see, you know, I don't want to say I see just success, but I see innovation. I see new discovery. I see a lot of things for myself, and I can't predict what's going to happen in the next 30 seconds, but I know I could definitely do everything in between, right? So I can tell you how I manifest, right? And this is literally how I manifest. I manifest by declaring what I want, write down what I want, and doing every piece of action in between that goal. And I set a firm, affirmative deadline on that goal and that task and take that action. So when you gave me the opportunity to jump on your podcast, it just made me just think, number one, prior to this pandemic, I've had this idea to launch the St. Clair Speaks Tour, which is me just traveling and speaking, right? Because of COVID, all of that had to kind of like shift and adjust. So I'm like, okay, this is perfect for the podcast. This is exactly what I want to do, but let's just take this to podcast form. So for me, I just see myself, you know, just being like doing more of this for sure, being more impactful, being more resourceful, but also giving back. And, you know, just really, I see more expansion for myself, but I also see me also taking things on the back end and saying, all right, you know, getting more people involved, increasing my team so I can spend more time with my daughter and spend more family time, because I've learned that, you know, through this pandemic, number one, tomorrow isn't promised to anybody. So the time that I spend, I want to make sure that I'm spending that time doing the things that I was called to do and spending my time with the people that are most important. So for me, I'm extremely, grateful, but I'm also cautious of where I put my energy, where I put my time, because, you know, your time, right? Your time and your energy is very valuable. I could give you $5,000, but that's one thing. But for me to give you my time, that's a whole new ballgame. I could go make that money back, but I can't say, all right, Luke, I'm going to need that hour back, right? I'm going to need that energy back. I can't take that time back. I can't take that energy back. So for me, that's where I see where I'm going with my brand, with my business. and everything overall, but I'm just being very cautious on the things that I want to do.
Wow. And I think that's an amazing answer. Obviously, no one can predict the future. You can't control the future, but obviously you can control what you do, of course. That's the only thing you have essentially control over. And you talked about your time. And, you know, I'm also of the belief that time is a person's most valuable commodity, and that is so true. And for you to be spending the time to come on my show as a guest, to view this as a worthwhile endeavor, I'm very honored by. And you talked about how you go about manifesting what you want. You declare it. You write it down. You set a deadline. And I think that's amazing. I think that's incredible. I think more and more people need to realize that. You also said earlier that you believe the universe has your back, which I think is an incredible way to go about, life, to have that kind of positivity mindset and whatnot. And I think that's incredible. And so you also mentioned in the future, what you plan on doing is you continue to travel down this path of personal growth and personal development and expansion and whatnot, continuing to share your story. And I think that's just incredible. More people, I think, need to have this mindset to think positively and to think that tomorrow will be better than today or yesterday and whatnot, and to go about doing the actions, like you said, to make it happen, not just dream about it, but actually do it. So I think that's incredible. I'm curious now, obviously you have a strong passion. I could feel the passion in your voice when it comes to success, when it comes to business, entrepreneurialism, and you've helped a lot of business owners and whatnot, providing them a platform to promote themselves. I'm curious, when it comes to being someone who helps businesses, there are some who might think that like a business coach, because I know you help businesses to improve, they may view that as unnecessary. You know, why do I have to pay someone to do that? I could read it from a book, or I can, do it on my own or whatnot. They may kind of roll their eyes and be skeptical or cynical about having someone help them to grow their business. I mean, what would you say to someone like that?
Well, I always say experience is the best teacher of all, right? And our experiences are teaching us things that's going to help us excel in this world. And that's something that I've said on the record on one of my, first, speaking YouTube videos back in 2018. And that is something that I live by. If I pay attention to my experiences, they leave all of these clues for success. And that is why mentorship is extremely important. I have a mentor from the real estate side who's a multimillionaire, and I interviewed him on my podcast, William Mandrell. And one of the reasons why I strongly believe that everyone needs somebody, especially mentorship or someone that could help elevate what they're doing, is because they have a complete different lens on experience. They've experienced something completely different from you. They probably went further than you, and there's trial and error that you could also avoid. So by me having a real estate mentor, that helps me, number one, not put myself in a deficit, right? Understand, the right properties to pursue, along with what to avoid. And those, like, for that little thing means a lot to me, because now I have this perspective. Now I have more of, like, it's like a cheat sheet. And I don't want to call it a cheat sheet, but more of a roadmap. I have this roadmap gateway to where I need to be and how I could get there, right? So no one has been successful on their own. Like, there's always someone that, hey, someone's always thanking someone when they win an Oscar or when they win a Grammy, when you win a championship. And there are, I'm a big sports guy. I'm a diehard Laker fan, been a Laker fan all my life. So when it comes to sports, especially a team sport like, basketball, it takes a team effort, right? In order for us to be successful in business, it does require a team. I'm not a one-man army anymore in what I do as a podcast host. I have an intern that helps me out now. And because of that, we started to produce better work. And the quality of work that we started to do was better, because now I don't have to burn out. Now I don't have to do everything. Now I could kind of like delegate this off to my VA and have that assistance. Also, I could take on other tasks and I could also stretch and expand myself. But from the business side, I strongly believe that if there are some areas that you're blind to, as far as your blind spot, you need someone that could help you check these blind spots. You need someone who has the experience, who's went through the turbulence, who's went through all of, you know, the pain of the experience of the pursuing what you're trying to do, right? So that's the whole point of it, right? Just filling in the blanks and kind of like bridging the gap in a way. So there's really importance in that. And I really want to push that importance, right? It's extremely important for people to understand the value of, you know, having someone help you fill in the void of the things that you're looking for.
Wow. That was amazing. And I think you put it very beautifully and elegantly. You know, Tony Robbins always talks about how when you hang around successful people, it obviously helps you because success leaves clues. It can give you that breadcrumb trail, that roadmap that you talked about. And I believe that to be so true. You know, when you're around the right mentor, the right coach, it can shave years off your learning curve, so to speak. And you don't have to, you can learn from their mistakes, so you don't have to repeat those errors. And so I think you talked a lot about that experience factor that I think is huge and whatnot. And so it's interesting. Obviously, a lot of successful people stand on the shoulders of others. It sounds cliche, but it's so true. And a lot of successful people have coaches, have mentors, even when they achieve that high level of success, like people like Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan had tons of coaches and whatnot. And you mentioned that being around people that are at the level that you want to be at is very critical. And, you know, Jim Rohn says that you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most. I totally believe that to be true. And so, you know, people totally need to understand that. You can't help but just, you know, be more successful when you're and be more inspired when you're around people like that. And also mentors can give you that outsider perspective. You know, I interview a lot of business coaches and, you know, they talk about how as sometimes entrepreneurs, they kind of miss the forest for the trees, but the coach can give them that outsider perspective that maybe other people might be fearful of giving them because, you know, they may be surrounded by yes men or yes women or whatnot. So, you know, mentors can tell you the truth. They can give it to you straight, and which is so important. So, you know, I really truly believe that everyone should have a coach. Everyone should have a mentor. And I think we would have more successful businesses, more successful people in the world if people just understood that truth. Because obviously, there's a lot to learn from books, but unfortunately, there's so many books out there, but, you know, no one's implementing it. So there's a reason why, because mentors and coaches, they give you that accountability. You know, a book can't hold you accountable like a human being can. So I think that's so key and so important. So I'm curious, obviously, there's a lot of folks like yourself out there that can help business owners, that can help entrepreneurs and whatnot. There's a ton of people who can call themselves a coach or a mentor. There's a low barrier to entry. I'm curious, you know, you talked a lot about the experience factor and you have quite a lot of experience, but what other competitive advantage do you have that makes you stand out maybe from the others and may make you better than some of the competition?
Easy. I can answer that in like 2 seconds. My personality. Easy. Just easy. Really simple, really easy, my personality. And this is something I didn't capitalize on before, prior to the pandemic. And this is something I learned through the pandemic, right? I've also learned when my back's against the wall, I'm going to bring out my best. And one of the things that I've actually started to do during this pandemic was I started to make comedy content. Prior to all of this, I never did any comedy. I only sold comedy tickets, right? I only sold comedy tickets. Real talk. I've only sold comedy tickets, but I do have personality. I was a class clown in high school, but I've always been funny. And when I would sell tickets in the heart of Times Square, you know, of course you're selling comedy tickets, you got to make jokes. And people would always say, oh, you're funny. Are you going to be in the show? Oh, you're funny. Are you going to be in the show? And I was like, nah, I'm not going to be in the show. I just sell tickets. That's what I do. This pandemic has shown me I have a lot more to offer. So one of the things I started to develop was I'm like, you know what? I got to use what I got. I got this personality. And a lot of people are winning based off personality. I have the type of personality that could host a TV show on MTV, right? Wow. That's the type of personality that I have. that's how much confidence I have when it comes to my personality and everything from the comedy side. And I started to make really, really good comedy content. A lot of the comedy content I've written, not even written, because most of it I didn't write. In fact, none of it I wrote. I did a lot of comedy content on the fly. I did maybe like one piece of comedy content I did at my barbershop with my barber. And that's something that we did on the spot. I edited the video. You can check it out. I edited the video on the spot in the barber chair on my iPhone. So two things I've learned is I'm a really good content creator, so I could really edit some content really good. But from the personality standpoint, if you have personality and you're not using it in business, you're losing out big time. And once I started to look at the it factor, meaning my personality, it changed the entire ballgame, right? I'd rather people connect with me for me, my personality, my ability, like, you know, my wittiness, me being funny, et cetera, versus me trying to have this perfect persona of me just being a businessman. No, I'm going to cut it to you straight. No mustard, right? My personality is my ticket out of here. I'll be honest with you. And you could put me anywhere. Like if you like a bad credit score, no money, I just have a phone to make content, I'm going to use my personality. If I have no insight, no knowledge of real estate or marketing, business, et cetera, take everything off the table. Just give me my personality. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. Wow. Because I've done it in this pandemic. I've made a lot of comedy content. Some content, I'll be honest with you, Luke, I'm like, where do I come up with this stuff? I was surprised. And this is what I've learned. And I'm like, I'm so glad I can talk about this, which is why I'm so glad to be on your podcast. A lot of this stuff I started to create, I'm like, yo, like, this is really good. And I'm just sitting there, like, just looking at my content. Sometimes I would post something on TikTok, and I would just sit there and just, like, watch over my videos over and again and again and again and again. And I'm like, yo, first off, I'm stupid as hell for making this type of content. But I grew up, you know, I'm a 90s baby. I grew up on the Wayans Brothers, Jamie Foxx Show, Martin, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, Family Matters, you know, that's the era I come from. So I come from this era of watching, you know, these comedians on TV and watching these TV shows, and especially Jamie Foxx. And I want to use him as a prime example. Jamie Foxx is so underrated. He does not get enough credit. Jamie Foxx needs to get his flowers, because Jamie Foxx is someone that I kind of like took bits and pieces from when I created my comedy character, Brett Brennan, who is a news reporter that I kind of came up with. But I got that idea from Jamie Foxx and watching Jamie Foxx as a kid on TV. And when you watch Martin, and when you watch Will Smith, when you watch these icons, and they're icons in their own right, mm-hmm. when you watch these icons as a kid on TV, and now we have the ability with social media not to mimic that, but to create something similar in a way from the comedic side. You don't have to give me a comedy stage. Just give me a phone, right? And just give me TikTok and watch what I do. That's the era that we live in now. So to have, you know, the background of just watching these guys as a kid, which saying, oh man, I wish I could do that. Yo, you could pick up your phone and you could literally create that now. Or mm-hmm. something, you know, something small and simple within 60 seconds and post it on TikTok or Instagram. And yeah, so I don't know if that answers the question, but that kind of does give a little bit more insight on, you know, a little bit more on what are the things that I would definitely use to my abilities.
Wow. Well, that certainly answers the question. And I think that's amazing that you use your personality, your natural charisma to your advantage. And I think that's incredible. You know, not that many people have that comedic talent, that delivery and whatnot. So to use that, I think that's amazing. And to be able to sort of come up with funny jokes on the fly, to, you know, what they call improv, or is amazing. And definitely, I don't know if you ever took improv classes. This was suggested to me, but I never followed through on it. But if you did do improv, I'm sure you'd be amazing at it. And I think that's incredible that you have this, you know, you're a man of several talents And I find you just very inspiring to speak to. And it's an honor just to know you, really. And it's interesting, you mentioned you're a 90s baby. I'm also a 90s baby. I grew up watching the show, I'm sure you're familiar, In Living Color. and Living Color was just such a hilarious show with the Fly Girls and whatnot. And so I can imagine why you'd be inspired comedically or comedian-wise through watching these shows and whatnot. And so, yeah, the 90s had a lot of funny shows.
So much funny shows, Luke. And also, like, you know, it was such a privilege to, you know, as a child, like, literally, you know, watch these icons on TV and, like the little things that you take for granted. But, you know, just looking at, just seeing someone that looks like you, the same skin color on TV just shows you, like, yo, anything's possible. You know what I mean? Like, anything's possible. And not shying, like, it's never too late, number one, to kind of, like, transition into different fields. But also, if you have personality, use it. But if you're talented in other areas, don't be afraid to go there, right? Like, J. Cole just dropped a new album, right? And he just made his professional basketball debut, like, literally, right, in different country. But that just goes to show, no matter what stature you're on in life, you could be, like, you could be J. Cole and literally say, okay, I want to go play professional basketball, right? Like, or The Rock, for example. We were so big on wrestling growing up. So to watch The Rock transition from wrestling to WWF at the time, now WWE, go from wrestling to being one of the highest paid actors, right? It's just, it's so inspiring that the only box that is created is the box that we put ourselves in. Like, that's straight up. To see everyone say, okay, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, why can't you? And that's the question I started to ask myself. Yeah, so what if I did personal training for 8 years? I could do other things. The Rock did this. Jamie Foxx did this. J. Cole did this. Why can't we do these things?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think that's amazing. And it's incredible how you said that if you see people who look like you achieving success or people who look like you, you know, on the TV set or whatnot, it inspires you. You know, I grew up watching, like a 90s baby, like you said, I grew up watching the Oprah Winfrey Show. And Oprah is one of my biggest inspirations. I'm sure she is for you as well. And I love Oprah Winfrey and whatnot. And her story is an amazing story of success. You know, she came from, you know, a humble background. She was sexually abused as a child. And she was like the richest, I think, black person in the U.S. and I think in the world for a while. So love Oprah Winfrey. She was definitely inspiring to me and I'm sure to many other women and people of color in general. And I also like Arnold Schwarzenegger as an inspiration. You know, you talk about a man who conquered several domains. You know, he went from being a bodybuilder to an actor to a politician. He was also a businessman. So definitely two of my personal heroes, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And also I like General Colin Powell. He was a son of immigrants, of Jamaican immigrants. He was from New York, actually, and had a lot of success. He went to City College. So, I'm totally with you on that, to be inspired by these role models who look like you or who may not necessarily have to look like you, but, you know, but to have these successful role models and whatnot, I think that's so, so, so important. I'm curious now, I'm sure you've helped a lot of folks and whatnot and throughout the years, business owners and others. Can you tell us any of the most moving or entertaining stories from your life or career?
I'm trying to figure out which one to select from because, you know, it's been quite the journey. It's been quite the journey. As far as careers, you know, you mentioned a little earlier in the interview that you worked at Equinox. I actually worked at Equinox, too, on Wall Street, Equinox on Wall Street about a couple of years back. And, you know, for me at the time, as a personal trainer, you know, fitness got me off the streets of Times Square, but it also got me out of the hood of Southside Jamaica, Queens. So that's where I grew up. So, you know, fitness has been a huge part of my life. I recently started to train and work out again, but not more so for the personal training side, but just to take care of myself. So from the fitness side, I've learned a lot in business that kind of like translates into marketing, right? And showcasing and talking about your expertise and diving into just all things business. And of course, just networking and putting yourself out there. But from the marketing side, I've worked with, you know, people like Mac Burnett from Powerful Impact. And what I've learned from just being under the wing, working with him from the marketing side, is how to conduct myself as a professional, as well as how to also kind of like really map everything out. And that's where I kind of got this overall strategy, right? Because if you aim at nothing, you get nothing. So to have a strategy and structure, and this is one of the things I have written on my vision board, right? Strategy and structure generate success. So you need to have some type of strategy and have a structured system that will lead you to that gateway of success. So I'll be honest with you, man, I've learned a lot from a lot of people, and I'm not on this podcast, you know, talking about, you know, just my wins. I've had a lot of losses but I've had a lot of wins, and a lot of my wins, Luke, were in relationships with people and just networking, right? So through networking, I've learned a lot, and I kind of talked about this a little bit maybe a couple minutes ago when I talk about when you network and you connect with someone and you have mentorship, you're gaining this new insight of experience. So now what would take me 6 months is only going to take me a month. All right. So I wouldn't be the person I am today if it wasn't for me being vulnerable and saying, hey, how do you do that? Because I've realized every time you ask questions, it gives you an opportunity to learn something new. So as a kid, I was always smart in school, but I was always smart by choice. And the reason why I say by choice is I decided when I wanted to turn it on and when I wanted to turn it off, right? Just like this interview, I could have easily said, okay, do I want to turn it on today? Do I want to come in here with energy and enthusiasm? Or do I want to just be like, oh, I'm just going to chill and, you know, just to get by? No, that's not who I am. But that's something I learned as a child, because in the school system, there were times where it's like, okay, I could get an 85, I could get a 90, or I could get a 45, or I could get a 65. And that was by choice. So I've learned now, looking back and even thinking about it now, I have always had that on and off switch when it came to education. And that is the same thing with business as well. But as a father, that's what stays on now. So there's no off button. There's no need for it to go off.
Well, okay. Wow. And that's amazing. And it's interesting how you talk about how relationships have helped you, and that this was one of the main ways that you won. Like, you had losses, you had wins, but you really won with the relationships. You know, I tell people all the time, the more you network, the luckier you get. And it's a play on the quote of the harder you work, the luckier you get, which is also true. But, you know, they say that the most successful people in the world, they have the widest and deepest networks. I don't know if you've ever read the book Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. He talks a lot about this, how successful people have these amazing networks, and they continue to build upon them all the time. One of the reasons why, the primary reason I started the podcast was to network and build relationships, build friendships, and it's opened so many doors for me. I started this podcast in January, and I've met some incredible people, and there have been incredible opportunities. And so I always tell people that if you want to network effectively, you should start a podcast. And I think you would agree when you.
I know. I want to interrupt you right there. I support that message. What you just said is 100% true, because I definitely want to kind of like piggyback on that statement. That is 1,000% true. I highly agree with that. Luke, you are 100% spot on with that.
Yes. Thank you so much. I knew you'd agree with it 110%. So I tell this to everyone. And there's a marketing guru named Seth Godin. He's bald-headed, wears glasses. You may have heard of him. He says that podcasting is the new blogging, that everyone should have a podcast. Totally agree with him on that. I think more and more people need to realize that. And, you know, when you interview someone on a podcast, your relationship with them has nowhere to go but deeper at the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, we knew each other before this episode, of course, and sort of liked each other, I think. But after this, I think we're going to bond even more. You know, you coming on this interview, talking about your life story and whatnot. And so there is something to that. And I think more and more people need to understand that and take advantage of this opportunity. It's never been an easier time to start a podcast. And you can even do it for free through the Anchor platform. So something that I think people need to really look into. So, you know, so it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, you felt that you won a lot with your relationships. And you seem like a people person. You have that charisma. You have that personality. And, you know, to have relationships, to start and build and deepen relationships with folks. You know, I'm actually an introvert, so networking and starting relationships is not easy for me. So,
Luke, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Luke, but believe it or not, yeah. I am really an introvert. I know a lot of people, but I'm really a loner. But that's another thing by choice, right? Literally by choice. But I'm really that's another thing I've learned since the pandemic. When you spent all this time in quarantine, you learn a lot more about yourself. So I feel like I learned a lot more about myself than I've ever have in my 29 years of living, but I am really an introvert.
You know, actually, it's funny. There's advantages and disadvantages to being an introvert, and obviously the same goes for being an extrovert. You know, as an introvert, you know, you're more likely to, as you said, you know, think a lot, particularly during this quarantine, which is so important because you have to know yourself. You want to have the ability to do self-reflection and introspection. And the same thing for me. I learned a lot about myself and whatnot during this tough period. And so, you know, a lot of successful people, believe it or not, have been introverts or are introverts. So it's interesting. And so, yeah, so I find it you know, sort of, it's curious that you're an introvert and you don't seem like it, but, so it's a little surprising, but, you know, obviously you're someone, maybe you're an ambivert. I've been reading about ambivert, but I believe you that you're an introvert actually. But obviously, you know, when to turn it on when you have to. And I'm guessing if you're an introvert and you go out there and you socialize, you may have to unwind. Is that what they say, that you have to kind of rest and be by yourself for a while? Is that true?
Yeah, you know, so it's crazy. I did two podcast interviews this past weekend, and I'm like, okay, I need to go lay down. But that's literally that's how I feel. I always feel like that. Especially, you know what it was? It's, you know, I blame Clubhouse. I blame Clubhouse because Clubhouse has shown me how much of an – yeah, it really did. Like, that app, it's like putting up a mirror in front of me. Like, it showed me how much of an introvert I am by choice. And I do get this – I don't know if it was like this social anxiety or whatever the case may be, but I was feeling like this overwhelmingness of, okay, I'm good for today, right? So I'm all good with networking. Like, I strongly believe that networking is essential for business growth, right? And so it's not how, it's who, right? It's not how, it's who. It's who could help you. It's not how you could do it. So for me, I know that I have to not rely on being an introvert, quote unquote, as a crutch and making it a crutch, but kind of like use that introvert title as leverage to my network. So if I were on Clubhouse, I would say, hey, like, this is a room for introverts to, you know, like, you know, share some tips or something like that. You know what I mean? So I would kind of like play off of it as a strength.
Wow. It's amazing. You know, how so many successful people are introverts. It would surprise you, and it may not look it. And, you know, you're someone who sold tickets on Times Square for comedy clubs. And I'm very familiar with you guys when I walk through Times Square. And I can tell it's tough and it's a grind and whatnot. So, you know, that impresses me even more that you did that while, you know, being an introvert.
Well, that told me one thing, Luke. If I could do that, one thing that taught me is that if I could do that and make a living off of it, and that's literally how I got the connection with my mentor at, you know, back at the time, Mac Burnett.
that's how I got that connection. You know, we met at a networking event, but I was telling him all these other things about me, but what really impressed him is literally what he told me. He was like, what really impressed me about you, Yahavi, is the fact that you made a living out there on the street of Times Square selling tickets. And he's like, yep, that's the guy on one of my team. Literally, I was like, okay, all right. So it also instilled this level of confidence in me that, hey, if I could do that, I could do anything, right? And I do have things to show for it, like, you know, my effort and my energy and enthusiasm, but it showed that if I could be successful doing that, there's nothing that I can't do. There's nothing that I can't do. Anything is possible. So, yeah, anything's possible.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And, you know, if you could, because that's a tough gig from what I've seen. You know, obviously traversing through Times Square and whatnot. So, yeah, it's incredible that you made a living actually doing that. I can't imagine doing that myself. Or maybe I should be able to imagine doing that myself. But, you know, my hat is off to you. It really is. And so, and also to be on Clubhouse. Now, I know Clubhouse is a new app and whatnot. I actually got invited into Clubhouse. Haven't been using it as much as I should. And it's great they use technology to your advantage. You mentioned that you also utilize TikTok, which I'm not on, but people have recommended as well. And you're on Instagram, Facebook, and then YouTube. And so I think, you know, to use technology to your advantage is wonderful. You mentioned how you use your personality and your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a powerful combination, I'm sure.
And, that's the new PP. That's the, well, the PP, the personality and the phone. But, yeah.
So I'm curious. You talked about networking. So obviously networking is very critical, and it's very critical for entrepreneurs. They maybe perhaps want to get to a point where they mostly or solely rely on referrals, but not just for entrepreneurs, but also job hunters. You know, they say networking is so important when you're unemployed looking for work, or maybe if you have a job but you're looking for another job, so to speak, because there's no job security, so you still always want to be looking, as you mentioned before. I'm curious, what key networking advice would you give to folks?
Key networking advice. I would, you know, I really love to write. And I would literally walk everyone through this right now. And I want everyone to close their eyes as they're listening to this. I'm going to walk you through this. Here's the advice. Get a blank sheet of paper, grab a pen or a pencil, write down networking, right? Line under it. Then the first question you need to ask yourself is, who do you need in your network and why? Right? People want to network, but they don't know who to network with and why. Right? So you need to be very strategic with who you want to add in your network. So for me, with like launching a new business, I know right off the bat, I need lawyers in my network. I need business lawyers. I need CPAs in my network. I need executive assistants in my network. I need social media managers in my network. You need to write down your need in your network. What is your need? Who do you need in your network and why? And once you can answer that question, you need to literally search those people and reach out to those people and connect, because there's a strong why behind why you need to network and connect with these people and literally fill in the blanks. So for me, I know right off the bat, if I need a network, I'm just going to network with the people that I need. I don't need to network off the strength of just networking. That's just me spending, again, back to what I said earlier in the interview, pointless time and pointless energy. It's all about me being strategic with what I'm doing with networking. Because, as I mentioned a little bit before, as an introvert, I do get overwhelmed with talking to various people. Sometimes I do have pointless conversations. It is what it is. But you need to be very strategic with, you know, your network and have a strong why behind the type of people that you want to network with and you want to connect with. And I get it. If you want to connect with people just off the strength of just building a big pool of networking, say if you're launching a networking, a monthly subscription networking group, that's one thing. But to be strategic with the type of pieces of people that you need around you in order for you to get to that next level is crucial. And that's why I always say this. I always say I network more than I work, right? So for me, Luke, podcasting is literally literally me networking. That's me networking. But also, if I am on LinkedIn or Clubhouse, I'm on there to, you know, network and connect, right? I'm there to network and connect, but I'm being very strategic with the people that I need to network with.
Wow, that's amazing. And love, love, love that answer. And thank you for that answer. It's interesting. You said you network more than you work. I may have to take that one from you.
No, please do. And I also wanted to add that, in fact, sometimes when you're networking, you're network, like I do say network, I network more than I work, but sometimes networking is literally, sometimes it's working, but sometimes networking is literally working in my favor for the reasons of I've networked and I've met interns that are working for me now, which is why I can network so much, because I have a lot of interns doing things on an unpaid internship, and they're doing the work for me while I'm still networking out here, which gives me the ability to consistently keep going like the hamster on the wheel. So it is a strong push on networking. If there's anything I want to encourage people to do, it's network. Network, wow. Network, 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 network. Because, look, if it wasn't for podcasting, and Luke, I got to credit you on this.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, as you said, you know, podcasting is huge. I think everyone should have a podcast. I strongly agree with that statement. If it wasn't for podcasting, Luke, I don't even know who I would be. I wouldn't have this ability to share my story and tell my story with such confidence, but I also would not know all of the things that I know as far as this things on the marketing end, things in business, how to conduct myself as a better business professional if it wasn't for networking. So when you meet people, there are some people that you're going to come across that plant seeds. And I'm a seed planter, right? I definitely am a seed planter. So there are some people that you're going to cross paths with, that you align with, that you're only going to cross paths because they are seed planters. They plant seeds within you that later blossom. So for me, yeah, it's essential.
Definitely. And it's interesting. You know, they always say that you probably heard the saying that your network is your net worth. It sounds cliched, but it's so true. And yeah, that's why, you know, I do the podcast, the primary reason. And also, I love to send people connection emails. I get a thrill out of that. I'm sure you do too, right? Making introductions of being a matchmaker, particularly. And so I always love doing that, because I know how important it is to make sure that everyone you know knows each other. I think it really helps you. It comes back to you as well when that happens. So that's something I always suggest to people. And you talked before about, you mentioned that exercise to close your eyes and to write that list. And I think that's so important. You know, more and more people have to engage in what's called that targeted networking. That's why I love LinkedIn, because LinkedIn allows you to do targeted networking. I get a lot of my guests for the show from LinkedIn.
And we met on LinkedIn too, just to throw that in there. Me and you, we connected through LinkedIn.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's huge.
Yeah.
Like there's the point right there.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, LinkedIn is an amazing platform. I think Gary Vee was the one who said that LinkedIn is a very underutilized platform. More people tend to spend, you know, time on Facebook and Instagram. Nothing wrong with those other platforms, but more people need to spend time on LinkedIn. I think people need to really understand that. And LinkedIn is a key platform for networking. So I think people need to be on LinkedIn and dialed in, so to speak. And I know you're on LinkedIn because you're always constantly posting stuff, which I think is amazing. Your content is incredible. Yeah.
I'm so glad that you said that. And I kind of want to definitely jump on that real quick if I do want to add something in. Honestly, when it comes to posting content on LinkedIn, I'm more strategic now than I was before. But I used to look at LinkedIn like Instagram or Facebook and all these other social platforms. I look at it completely different. LinkedIn's a business. And I've also learned from these really very successful influencers that's on the LinkedIn platform who are now making over six figures all through LinkedIn, that it's all about the content that you put out. Now, this is something I probably, you know, I don't, you know, mention or talk about, but the opportunities that come through LinkedIn, right? The opportunities that come through LinkedIn. I had someone reach out to me through an email because how much content I put out has given me an opportunity for a job position. And I thought that was really interesting. And I had no idea what I was doing. And I was just putting out content because people don't use LinkedIn as much as they should, but they don't use it to their strongest benefit. And a lot of people talk about making video content on LinkedIn, making video content, making engaging, and et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things I started to hone in on and hawk down on is my podcast, right? And just talking about my podcast or talking about these other things that I'm doing on LinkedIn or just talking about my personal experiences. Because I'm doing that, what that does is it shows, you know, say a recruiter, right? So if you're someone that's looking for work and, you know, you have LinkedIn and you're not utilizing it to your abilities, I really encourage you to, because I have recruiters reaching out to me, offering me, you know, these really good career opportunities, however I'm declining them, but, you know, but just because I'm declining, like, there are some ones that I looked at, I'm like, wait, hold on, I might want to look into this. But, you know, I would always say, you know, LinkedIn over Indeed any day, but never underestimate the power of LinkedIn, right? Never underestimate it. If you're not making content on LinkedIn, if you're not utilizing it to your abilities, you're really missing out. You're really, really missing out. So anyone listening to this, if you have LinkedIn, you know, if you want to just start out with a video, one video a week, or maybe two videos a week, or just a photo, just put something out there. You'll be surprised what you get in return.
Wow, that's amazing. And it just goes to show you, the more you network, the more you put yourself out there, the luckier you get. The fact that you get all these job opportunities on LinkedIn is incredible. And it's even more incredible that you turn them down because you're focused on your mission and you want to be your own boss, obviously, and an entrepreneur. So, you know, they say the most successful people say no a lot to a lot of things. So that's amazing. So you talked about how the podcast also gives you a lot of content to put out there, which is, I think, another great reason why people should go into podcasting. And you mentioned that video content can be very effective, something I haven't really utilized, although I have made audiograms from headliner.app, which I'm sure you're probably familiar with, but video content I may have to look into more. So that's, you know, and you also have that YouTube channel, which I think is amazing and whatnot. So I'm curious, obviously, you know, quite a lot about networking. I think networking sort of comes naturally to you, even though, or because of, you're an introvert. And so I think networking is something you could probably write a book about and whatnot, particularly when it comes to LinkedIn. I think you're very good at that when it comes to LinkedIn. Your posts and your content gets a lot of engagement, which I think is incredible and whatnot, lots of eyeballs and whatnot. And now here's the thing. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about this issue. You know, I hate to bring things down a little bit, but obviously I think I have to talk about it. Obviously, as a country and a society, we have a lot of social ills, you know, racism, sexism, homophobia and whatnot. You are an African-American man and trying to achieve or are achieving success in America, in this country. And I am also Black. I'm curious, have you ever experienced racism or discrimination in your life? And if you have, how did you overcome it?
Absolutely. I got, man, Luke, man, what Black man in America hasn't? If they say they haven't, they're a liar. Or if that day is coming. So here's the thing. I've experienced, believe it or not, like, I've had people say some crazy stuff to me in the streets of Times Square. That's one. So I've experienced racism in Times Square. But I've actually experienced more racism working for, you know, these corporations. I'm not going to sit there and name some of these fitness corporations that I worked for in the past. But, you know, working for some of these major fitness corporations, you know, they definitely need to do a better role in training their managers, because just because you have a title as a manager does not make you a great leader, nor does it make you credible at all. Plus, I mean, I believe racism is it's a mental disease. And if you're someone that's racist, I honestly feel no sympathy or no pity for my enemies. You made your own choice. That's a mental disease. That's something that's taught. It's a generational thing. Your ancestors taught that to you, and I'm pretty sure they lived a miserable, angry life, because I cannot live a lifestyle where I'm angry because someone looks different from me or someone has a complete different background. I will be miserable every single living second of my life. So I think what makes us unique as people is our differences, the background of our culture, and how we could come together is just having these conversations. No one wants to have the conversations. And I get it. It could be uncomfortable. But in order for us to get to, this comfortable way of living, we need to go through the uncomfortable turbulence. We need to have these conversations. But from have I experienced this? Absolutely. Especially working more so in the corporate setting where they were more intimidated to give the black man the leadership role. And I knew right off the bat that I would be a better leader than, this person or that person, not because of anything else, because of my leadership ability, because I know I could lead the way. I know I can lead the charge. But if you're not going to give me, a higher position, or maybe for my abilities, that's one thing. But if you're not going to give it to me because of my skin color, I'm going to wake up black. I'm going to go to sleep black. I'm going to, like, at the end of the day, the outcome is always going to be black, right? So for me, I'd rather you say, okay, Yahavi, you're just not qualified, versus you try to make up some BS and, hide behind the fact that you're just intimidated by a black man, right? Even Malcolm X said it, right? The white man's supposed to feel inferior to the black man. That's what it is. So when you are a black educated man, it could be very intimidating for white America, right? It's very intimidating for white America, in fact. So I've experienced that. I've seen it. I lived it. And, if my confidence in myself comes off intimidating to you, hey, those are the insecurities that you need to work on as a person, not me, right? So I'm so in love with me. I'm so in love with the person I am. My significant other is white. So my daughter is half black, half white. So we have these conversations, right? These are conversations that we have, but I'm also in an interracial relationship. So I've experienced that even going outside. And it's like, look, you could sit there and say, oh, you see no color. I see no color. Man, that's BS, man. Color is color. But I'm not going to sit there and hate on someone because they're dating outside of their race or they're a different skin tone from me. At the end of the day, like, how is that going to affect my income? Why is that living in my head, right? Why is that so important to me? That's something that was instilled from childhood. So it goes back to those racist ancestors some of these people have had. Right. And that's what it goes down to. I was taught to love. I wasn't taught to hate anyone. Right. So it's not in my blood for me to sit there and say, oh, I hate you because you don't look like me. Oh, I hate you because you don't sound like me. No, we actually connect more through our differences more than ever. So for me, and also I've said this before, but for me, I couldn't even live a racist lifestyle. If I was someone who said, oh, I'm not going to work with someone because of their skin color, do you know how many people you're automatically Xing out of your network? Do you know how many people you're saying, oh, I'm not going to connect with them because of their skin color, that could potentially help you go to the next level? But I also understand how business is business. Every single person who's helped me excel and where I'm at have been black, have been African American in business and gave me the real game. I've had business meetings with, Caucasian people and made it seem like they were helping me, but they weren't helping me at all. Right. So I think of that meme where it's like someone in the bottom of a pit and someone reaching down their arm and they have this long ladder. Some people make it seem like they're helping you, but they're not helping you at all. Right. Because we understand that knowledge is power. Right. That's why it was illegal for African Americans to read back in the day. Because they know knowledge is power. That's why I'm an author. I put a lot of resources, mindset hacks, all of these things in my book, Sweats the Suits, which is available on Amazon. I put all of these things into my book, because we need more Black stories. We need more Black speakers. We need more Black businesses. We need more people taking the initiative and stepping into what they were called to do. So for me, because of the racial experiences that I've experienced, I'll be honest with you. I'll be lying if I said it didn't light a fire under my ass. I'll be lying. Like, that was the best thing they did. The best thing they did was say, no, Yahavi, we can't give you part-time. And I had to go back in the corner. That was the best thing they did. The best thing. And now I look back at all of my previous experiences working at these major corporations, working for them, I've experienced that systematic racism in the workplace. I've experienced that. And I've experienced that more in the corporate work setting than I did in the streets of Times Square in New York City. Straight up.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. I love that answer. And thank you again for sharing your story and, you know, these details about your life. Thank you for your openness and candidness about what you've gone through. It's interesting. You talked about racism being a mental disease. I totally agree with you. It is. I think it comes down to people wanting to feel superior about themselves by trying to put down other people and whatnot. It's like an opiate that they need to help themselves feel better. It's like a crutch, so to speak. And a lot of people use racism as a crutch and whatnot, and it's sick. And you talk about, you know, what you went through in the corporate world, and that's unfortunate, but now you're off on your own being your own boss. And so, you know, maybe you said before that a lot of times what the bad things that happen to you are like blessings in disguise. So now you get to, you know, set your own rules and whatnot as an entrepreneur. You don't have to deal with some, you know, supervisor or manager making decisions about promoting you to this or that based on race or whatnot. And so you're your own boss. And you talked about how African Americans can help each other out, which I think is so important. And, you know, I always tell people about the story of Black Wall Street, which I'm sure you're familiar with, right? With we're touching upon the 100 year anniversary of what happened to Black Wall Street in 1921. At the end of this month, May 31st, around that time, we'll hit that 100 year anniversary. You know, Black Wall Street was a successful, thriving area. Because the African-American business owners, they bought from each other and helped each other out, right? And even during this time of extreme racism and oppression, you had this thriving economic, thriving Black area. So people should never forget about Black Wall Street. And we could always have another Black Wall Street. And I truly believe that. So you definitely remind me of that. Black Wall Street. It was a story of Black excellence. And it's interesting that, you know, you use all these negative experiences to fuel you and whatnot. And I think that's incredible. Michael Jordan, he used to use that as motivation when people said he couldn't do something. You know, he would take the newspaper clipping up and put it in his locker. So it would just only say, okay, well, I'll make it happen and whatnot. And so to use negative things and naysayers and whatnot to your advantage, I think is so incredible and just so amazing and whatnot. And I'm curious now, obviously, I think, you know, you being a successful Black person inspires many people, like Oprah did for me. And so you're leading the way. You know, you were inspired by them, and now you're inspiring, you know, others and whatnot. And I think that's just incredible. I'm curious, what key advice would you give to people that want to do what you're doing, who say, you know, I think what Yahavi's doing is cool. You know, he's doing the podcast stuff. He's helping business owners and whatnot. He's doing comedy. And what advice would you give to those people who want to do what you're doing, who are inspired by you, particularly people of color?
Easy. Start now. Start now. Don't like, one of the biggest things I'll tell people is start now. If not now, then when? If not now, then when? Start now. Be confident in what you want to do. Confirm what you're going to do. Okay, I'll say that again. Be confident in what you're going to do and confirm it. You have to confirm it. With confidence and conviction, anything is possible. But if you don't believe in the things that you want to do, what's the point of doing it, right? Like, that's like me having it. That's like me having a podcast show and me being insecure about my podcast. Why am I doing something that I'm unsure of? You need to be confident in what you want to do and what you're created to do. And through the pursuit of whatever you want to do, it needs to be in alignment with your purpose. And you know, everyone knows what your purpose feels like, because there's a feeling of what purpose is, right? I get this feeling of, okay, this podcast is really good for me, right? This is my purpose. So for me, I pay attention to energy, because energy doesn't lie. People lie. Numbers are one thing, but people lie. Energy is a whole new ball game. So I'm an empath. So I pay attention to how I feel when I do things. That's extremely important. So I would encourage everyone to pay attention to how they feel when they do things in a moment. So if you're doing a sales job and you feel a certain way about it, pay attention to how you feel, right? If you're selling cupcakes, and you feel phenomenal, and like there's some type of synergy that's taking over your spirit, pay attention to that. So I would encourage everyone to be confident in whatever they want to do, confirm what they want to do, but also pay attention to the feeling that comes in the moment of whatever they're pursuing. It's extremely important for people to have this level of self-awareness whenever you're in pursuit of anything that you're doing. Pay attention to that, because your energy leaves clues. Your energy also tells you what you need to do more of and what's not for you.
Wow. I think that's amazing. And, you know, you mentioned you have to start now, which I think is incredible. A lot of people, they get stuck in analysis paralysis, and they end up never starting. You know, I think Dr. King said you got to take the first step, and you don't have to see the whole staircase. I think that's so true. And the other steps will reveal themselves in time. And you talked about having that confidence and then confirming and paying attention to the feelings. And you talked about energy, which I think is so incredible. I think that's amazing advice and whatnot. And also, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, going back to what we spoke about earlier. Obviously, in this country, there may be racism, but I still do believe it's possible for people of color to succeed. And also, you know, we also have our first first female vice president in American history. So I think that's a sign of progress. Obviously, there's more progress that we need to achieve. So I just want to, you know, throw that out there.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Let me just jump in on that real quick, because there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of black successful business owners that I know. I just interviewed, literally a multimillionaire just the other day, right? And he's doing something in the educational space with his name is Jay Veal, and he's doing something in the educational space, tutoring kids and really just expanding knowledge and just expanding education. So there's no limit on anything.
Definitely. And I think as time goes on, things do get better, on that front when it comes to racism and discrimination. But definitely, we don't want people to think that it's not possible. Definitely it's possible if they work hard in this country and whatnot. And, you know, you're a living proof of that. And the guy you interviewed, who's a multimillionaire, and his story is amazing and whatnot. So I just wanted to clarify that. And I'm curious, what advice would you give to business owners who are looking for help to expand their business? Now, they can go to you, which I think is an excellent decision, right? But let's say you're busy or you're on vacation or your hands are full with other clients. How should they go about that to help their business to grow and expand?
I mean, you got to look at the need. What are the needs of the business? What are the pain points? That's like that. It's really simple. It's really simple. What are the pain points? What are the needs? And it goes back to, the statement I made about networking. You could use the same analogy. Get a blank piece of paper, write it down, and say, what are my business needs and why? And if you can answer that question, then you will know the solution. Until then, you will never know.
Okay. That's amazing. So they have to, as you mentioned, that exercise, find out what exactly they need and start from there.
Yeah, just Yeah, like discover pain points. Discover, does your business need better marketing? Do you need better content design? Do you need more staff? Like, you know, people need to understand, like, what are the business needs? What are the needs of my business, right? Sure. And if you can answer that question, you got the answers. And it's just doing everything in between.
Definitely. And I think that's amazing advice. I'd be remiss if I didn't also mention that I'm sure you're aware of this. There's a high failure rate when it comes to new businesses. My understanding is most new businesses fail within the first couple of years. And I'm curious, why do you think that is? And what should entrepreneurs do when they're starting out so we can turn these stats around?
Easy, lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge, lack of experience. And this is why mentorship is important. I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but it definitely does bridge the gap. And people need to do a little bit more due diligence, of course, myself included, right? So I strongly believe, like, you know, the second you stop learning, you start to die. So you got to inform yourself. You can inform yourself as, like, there's so many different ways to learn now. There's YouTube, but there's also networking. You can learn through someone else's experience rather than sit and watch 12 hours of YouTube videos. You could just invest in a mentor and coach, someone who's done what you're looking to do, and go that route. Why are you going to go through hell and high water, right? Because pride is the devil. And that's why a lot of people do that. A lot of people have a hard time saying, hey, I actually need help. Don't go the YouTube route. And this is what someone actually mentioned on my podcast, Marcus Chan. I'm going to quote him on this. You know, people like the freemium, right? He says the freemium. Instead of the premium, they want the freemium. People are always looking for this microwavable instant gratification of success, right? Like, it doesn't go that way. It doesn't work that way. Nothing works that way. No one's like, it's easy for someone to say, yeah, I could do this and that. Like, it's not going to happen overnight, right? So you need to understand that, you know, these things take time, but you also need to be realistic and live in reality, not in la-la land. And it's easy for us to get caught up into, you know, just our pride and our ego, that we're not looking at all of these resources that are surrounded by us. And once we start to tap into our network, we tap into these resources, then we start to get the results that we are seeking.
Wow. I think that's amazing advice. You talk about how a lot of people who start their businesses, there's a lack of knowledge and whatnot, and they have to reach out to mentors so they don't make the same, you know, kind of errors that a lot of new business owners make, you know, which typically leads to the high failure rate. They sort of have to do their homework and research things out more. So for these stats to turn around, but it's also interesting that a lot of business owners did fail at the beginning. You mentioned yourself, you had some misses or whatnot. And so oftentimes these failures, they tend to be learning experiences. You know, I always tell people about the story of the guy who founded Domino's Pizza. It was a wild story where he filed for bankruptcy, I believe, multiple times. But everyone knows what Domino's Pizza is today. So, you know, but it wasn't easy getting there. So it's a very inspiring story. So a lot of times business failures can be just a setup for something new, better in the future, that people, you know, they can learn from that experience. You know, I tell people all the time, you don't really fail unless you get knocked down, but you just don't get back up. And that's the only kind of real failure. And so definitely thank you so much for that advice. You know, again, you talked about the importance of networking, mentoring, and coaching. I think everyone needs to have a coach and a mentor. I think that's so critical and so important. A good coach can shave years off your learning curve and get you where you need to be a lot quicker than if you were to do it on your own. And so I think that's excellent advice. I'm curious, you've mentioned a lot of important life lessons that you learned yourself or from others. I'm wondering, in addition to the wisdom you shared with us, is there anything else, any other life lessons that you'd love to provide us with?
I would say, yeah. You know what? Don't doubt your capabilities. Don't doubt what you were created to do. And yeah, don't doubt that one idea that keeps coming to your mind. Don't doubt yourself. And, you know, doubt, you know, they say, what, doubt kills dreams more than fear does? And I strongly agree. doubt is a mother, you know, so don't doubt your abilities to do anything. Everyone is created in their own right to do exactly what they were created to do. We don't know who we are until we fail. And we must continue to progress and move forward. And the only way to do that is to take affirmative action. And even if it's imperfect action, it's better than sitting there in idle time, because that's the worst thing you could do, is just playing that shoulda, coulda, woulda game. Because I found myself even doing that myself. I found myself like, damn, I should have invested in Bitcoin, right? Or I should have, you know, did more Clubhouse rooms as soon as I got on the app. Or I should have made more LinkedIn content. That shoulda didn't happen. Now what? Okay, now what? Because as long as I know, no one has the time machine. So we're not going back in time, and we can't go back in time and change these things. We need to focus on the right now, the in-between, and where we need to go, and do every single piece of action to get us there.
Well, I think that's amazing advice. And you know, people need to be wary of this whole issue with doubt. They have to believe in themselves. You talked earlier before about the importance of confidence. And, you know, and obviously there's been, for a lot of people, there's this lack of self-belief. And, you know, I believe in the law of attraction. And I'm sure you do, too. The more positive you think, the more success you achieve. And it's not because of any magic or miracle. It's just that, you know, when you think of red cars, for example, you go outside, you see a whole bunch of red cars that you didn't see before. They're always there. But what happened was, you know, when you think of something, your antenna's tuned more to seeking it out. So when you think positively, you're more likely to see those opportunities when they present themselves. So there is something to that. So I strongly believe in the law of attraction to help, you know, people manifest the success that they want and desire. And, you know, it's interesting. All this talk reminds me of, I'm sure, a guy you may be familiar with, the founder of one of the founders of FUBU. He was actually from New York City. He's one of the sharks on Shark Tank, Damon, right? He's also, I follow him on LinkedIn. He's very inspiring figure. He suffered from dyslexia as a child, and, you know, he could have doubted himself, right? And said, well, I'll never make it to anything. You know, he came from humble roots and whatnot. He didn't grow up rich. He grew up, in New York City in Harlem. And you know who I'm talking about, right? He's one of the sharks on Shark Tank.
Yeah, I know exactly. Now, he's actually from Queens. He grew up in Hollis. I know exactly who you're talking about. Damon Jones?
Yes.
He's actually that's literally someone that and you know what? I'm glad that you brought him up in particular, because remember what I said early in the interview, when you see someone that looks like you doing what you want to do, he's literally the statement that I'm talking about. Literally, to go from FUBU to be the icon that he is today and watching Shark Tank, it's really inspiring.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, I'm not too sure if I would watch Shark Tank if he wasn't on it, or maybe I would. I'm just saying. But he definitely, he is definitely an inspiring figure, and I love him. I love his story and whatnot. And I knew I had to throw him into this interview, so I found a way to do that. He's definitely someone that people should follow on LinkedIn and other social media platforms. He loves to interact with his fans and followers, which I really, really like. So I'm curious. Thank you again for sharing that important life lesson. I wanted to know, I'm curious, what book recommendations do you have for folks?
I would definitely say mine. I'm going to definitely throw my book out there. I'm going to say Sweats and Suits, available on Amazon. But I have so much different recommendations from books, but definitely gonna throw out mine and shout myself out because I don't talk about my book enough. Definitely my book for sure, Sweats and Suits, available on Amazon. But as far as my book recommendations, I have a long list, and it starts with The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Literally the list goes on. I just I know it ends with Wallace.
But I read, I can tell you my reading schedule.
Okay.
The last 2 hours before I close my eyes, I read, and everything in between is everything in between. But those are.
Okay.
Because if you could change your thinking, you could change your life. It's a very powerful
Absolutely.
Thing. People don't understand. If you do not change your thinking, you will never change your life. So I'm glad to do this interview today because I was honestly like we're human beings. So I was kind of like feeling, I want to say somewhat down, but I wasn't feeling like myself, you know, like we're human beings. We're going to have our days where, you know, we're going to have more energy, enthusiasm one day than the other, or we're going to be more happy one day or the other. But today I choose to be happy, right? So happiness is a choice. These are things that, you know, I've learned from reading, but I've also learned that what we've learned from childhood is instilled in us through adulthood. So we were not always taught the right thing when we were kids. And it's not, you know, the people that raised us, it's not their fault. It's they didn't know. So it's for us to kind of like reprogram the way of thinking.
Absolutely. And it's so important. I always tell people that they have to do a lot of learning on their own, you know, reading books, listening to podcasts and whatnot. You know, I've learned a lot by seeking knowledge. And you mentioned there's a lot of resources around us, and that is so true. So and whatnot. And people can start by reading your book, and which is sold on Amazon. So now this is the part of the interview where I give the guests the question of will they ever write their own book. You've already done that, of course, and I think everyone should go out and read it. I'm planning on writing any other books in the future, maybe like, maybe on networking or whatnot.
Yeah, you know what? I'm literally in the process of doing that now. But how I could tell you, right? I could tell you this now. Fun fact: when I started writing my book, Sweats to Suits, this was back in 2018. At the time, I was working for my older brother, and we was like, it was a timeshare job at the time. But I remember I started writing it. I opened my iPhone up. I opened up the note app, and I just started writing. I literally just started writing as I was on the Metro North, and I was heading down to Manhattan. I just started writing, and every time I was on the train, I was going on my way to work or sell comedy tickets or whatever the case may be, I was writing the book. And before you know it, the book was done, right? So I'm like, okay, this is great. But I capitalized. What a lot of people don't know about the book was the writing of the book was during one of my darkest times in life. So during one of my darkest times, I capitalized on it by writing and telling my story.
Wow, that's amazing that you were able to accomplish that. Yeah. Wow. That's incredible that you did that during a tough period. Right.
Yeah, you got to move clear. You got to move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And definitely can't wait to read that book from cover to cover. And so I'm curious now, this is obviously the time when I give the question to a guest, will they ever start their own podcast? You, of course, already have your own podcast, an amazing podcast. I recommend everyone take a listen to it. I learn a lot from it. And, you know, so the name of your show is St. Clair Speaks Show, right? It's available on all the major platforms. And I think it's an incredible show. You have a lot more energy than I do when I host my show. And I think that's amazing. You have that energy and that excitement and whatnot. I highly recommend everyone check out your show. And I also want to introduce you to other podcasters that, you know, perhaps you can be a guest on their show and whatnot. I know you're doing you're on these podcasts. You're trying to get out there. And I think it's an excellent way for people to get exposure, to be a guest on other people's shows. That's when the magic really happens, is what one guest told me. So I think that's a great idea, what you're doing. I'm curious. I just wanted to tell you that this has been an enlightening, educational, inspiring conversation. And I was wondering, can you go ahead and describe all the ways that people can reach out and connect with you so you can put a dynamic center of influence like yourself in their network?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I would say, you know, check me out on LinkedIn. That is the platform that I use more than any other platform. And if you guys want to know why, you have not listened to this interview. So if you want to know why I use LinkedIn, please go back and start this interview all over again and listen through. But you can find me on LinkedIn, Yahavi St. Clair. You can follow me and connect with me on Instagram at Hustle Hav. That's HUSSLEHAV Hav. You can connect with me on Facebook, Yahavi St. Clair. You can reach me on my website, stclairspeakshow.com and stclairspeaks.com. Connect with me. I'm super excited. Also, I am on Clubhouse. So if you find me on Clubhouse, my at name on Clubhouse is St. Clair Speaks, or you could just type in Yahavi St. Clair via Clubhouse, and you could pretty much just stay updated with, you know, any conversations that I'm having with any like-minded individuals, any upcoming rooms that I'll be hosting. But yeah, connect, and happy to have you in my network, because as you guys know now, you know, networking is essential.
Definitely, definitely. And thank you so much for that. Just so you know, the information you provided will be available in the episode description area. So people will be able to see it and read it there and whatnot. I highly recommend that people put you in their network, read your book, and listen or watch your show. So they'll definitely learn a thing or two from all the successful people you're able to get on your show and interview. It's amazing. So definitely, I want to again thank you for being a guest on the show. I've learned quite a lot. This will actually be an episode I'll be listening to and re-listening to a lot. And I know that the audience definitely appreciated having you on as a guest and whatnot. I want to thank them for listening. Do you want to leave us with any last word or final send-off?
Yeah, and I talk about this in my book, Sweats the Suit, Chapter 3, FCA. Faith, confidence, action. You got to have faith in what you're doing. You got to be confident in what you're doing, and you got to take action. If you're not confident, if you don't have strong faith, you're not taking action, none of these impactful, incredible things will ever happen for you. So what's the point of taking action if there's no faith behind it? What's the point of taking action if you're not confident in the action that you're taking? And nothing in this life will never happen for you if you don't take action. Because remember, thinking is an action. So take action today. Have strong confidence. Have a strong faith in everything that you're looking to accomplish in this world. And apply the FCA into your everyday lifestyle and watch your life change. And, yeah.
Thank you so much for that. I think that was amazing. Again, thank you for being a guest on the show and talking about your story. And thank you to the audience for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. Everyone, have a wonderful day. Take care and bye-bye. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcast app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.